Welcome to Intuitive Art Sales. This is the show where I, Jessica Craddock, am going to teach you how to source your art marketing from within. You're going to practice claiming that authentic art business that you want and leading it to the most natural way for you to get there. You're going to learn to get connected to your intuition, your confidence, and your community so that you can sell your art consistently while holding strong boundaries on your work-life balance. Welcome back to Intuitive Art Sales. Today I am here with Sam Groom, who creates relief prints and sculptural artworks that are very bright, fresh, colorful, playful, abstract, graphic textures, lots of fun. Sam has done a pretty good job of selling thus far, but she's trying to figure out what's the best way to increase the income coming in, whether it's raising her prices, focusing on originals, or something else. So today we're digging into how experimenting with your pricing can lead to increasing your profits without eating up more time, and doing that in a way that feels sustainable both for you and the customer. So with that, let's get into it. Welcome back to Intuitive Art Sales. I am here with Sam Groom, who is a printmaker. We've been chatting a little bit on Instagram back and forth and decided that I would love to have Samantha on here to kind of walk through a couple of issues or mindset blocks or whatever you want to call it that she's been struggling with. And this is the easiest way to do it. So we get a little bit of interactive FaceTime, one-on-one, see where we can go with this. So tell me a little bit about if there is something particular on your mind, what's happening in your art business that you want to fix. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. So I suppose what I would say is happening that I'd like to fix, I like to make big, bright, bold prints, and I would quite like to maybe sell some of them for a bit more money. They tend to be one-off pieces, so I suppose maybe I'm a little bit risk-averse about going a bit bigger, going a bit bolder, and just seeing if I could sell them for a bit more money and just have a bigger audience, you know, more people see what I do.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to start off, we'll see how much time we have, but we're going to start off talking about pricing. Does that sound good? We haven't done that in a while on this show. Actually, I don't remember a particular episode where we have done that. So I think that that would be a great topic to cover, kind of the mindset blocks that go along with that and how we can play a little bit within our comfort zone, but also push it a little bit. And where is that balance? Can I ask you about money? Like, what do you charge? How much are you making per print? That kind of thing. Are you comfortable answering those questions?
Yeah. I mean, as much as I will be able to answer.
Yeah. Just to the best of your ability, we can use approximates. But what is the high end of your pricing, and what is the low end of your pricing?
Well, I guess the high end would be maybe about £450, £500.
Okay.
Maybe a piece that has taken a long time. So I know I'm not really making a great deal of profit from this. Whereas reproduced prints, digital prints or giclées might go for around £20 to £35, that kind of price.
Okay.
And they're going to make a good profit.
Interesting. So do you mind me asking about what it costs you to print a giclée or something that's £20 to £35?
Well, I tend to get them done in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, maybe a few pounds per print.
Okay. Yeah, so around two. Great. And that takes you, if we're adding up all the time that it takes, I like to include time in pricing. We're doing them in bulk, so maybe a couple of hours for the bulk. How many are you ordering? 20 or 30? I'll say 25 just to make it easy. And Do you package those up and print them or package them up once they're ordered and send them off yourself? Okay. So if we're taking all that time, we have to photograph it originally, color correct it, find the printer, which it sounds like you already have, order that in bulk, packaging up, shipping it. How much time would you say it takes you for one print, if we could guess?
Do you mean including, because obviously I've designed the piece.
That's true. But I'm thinking more specifically about the execution of the print.
Well, I mean, it's difficult because, like I said, there's obviously designing and then there's the photographing and then tweaking it on Photoshop. And I mean, that's probably more like a couple of hours. Well, with digital prints, they're open editions. So, you know, I can print it as many times as I like. So,
right.
Next, once I've got that print, it's maybe just 5 minutes. Yeah, or 10 minutes.
Okay. Let's add in a little bit because, you know, it's going to depend how many you sell overall and how many you're ordering and all of that. But we want to get those couple of hours in there too. So let's say it takes you 10 minutes. So then when you, on the high end, you said 500 pounds, it takes me a long time. 450, 500 pounds was specifically what you said. How many hours is going into that?
Hundreds.
Hundreds? Hundreds. Oof. Hundreds of hours. I don't even know where to start with that. No one's ever said hundreds of hours to me before.
I don't know where I'm ending up when I start.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I love, you know, that I just start printing onto a piece of fabric. I mean, I'm thinking of the textile pieces in particular.
They're just passion projects almost.
Yeah.
Okay. So hundreds of hours. 200 hours. And when we're thinking about the cost to produce it, how much money do you think might go into one of those?
In terms of material cost? Oh, not very much.
Not very much?
Bound fabric. And, you know, it's,
okay. Something like 5 pounds. Okay. So if we're calculating that out, 200 hours times 60 is 12,000 minutes. So if we're saying, let's go high end, 500 minus 5 is 495. That's your profit. But we're dividing that by the number of minutes is about 4 cents a minute times 60. So we're making about $2.50 an hour on the big ones. Yikes. And then on the small, you said 20 to 35 pounds. Should we just average that somewhere in the middle? Let's go 28. 28 pounds divided by 10 minutes is 2.8 pounds per minute, which equals about 168 pounds an hour. That's a big difference. Now, there is the whole, I have to market, to sell, to make that many or that much per hour. So then we could add in marketing cost and all of that. But this math isn't looking so good. The smaller stuff is pretty good. Let's keep that going. That's working. It's the big stuff that's not working. But. Some of those bigger passion projects are the things that attract more people to you that allow you to sell those smaller prints in the first place. So we've got that whole thing going. What if, just let's just roll with me here for a minute. What if we greatly increased the price of the big stuff just to see what happens? Because I'm guessing the majority of your income is coming from, at the moment, maybe I'm wrong. Where's the majority of your income coming from? You said earlier, 50% workshops, so the other 50% is art. Break that down for me the best you can.
Well, I'd say it's mostly, like you were going to say, it's the reproduction work and greeting cards with occasional one-off prints, which are not in that £500 price.
Mm-hmm.
the passion pieces that are £500, don't even really expect to sell them, to be honest. But I put that price on because I look at them and I think I couldn't put them on for more.
Why not?
Because I don't know, really, because maybe I'm not completely convinced by them always myself. I've been doing them as a bit of an experiment, just to see what happens, you know, maybe search as I go along. And the thing is, they inform other pieces of work. So
right,
they're always part of the overall process of my body of work. And as I go along, I'll have a piece that's finished and I could put it at a higher price. Still not expecting maybe to sell it, but just because of the work and the effort and the passion that's got into it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So the way I like to think about pricing is kind of a small, medium, large, and it doesn't always fit into that mold. Sometimes you can change things so that it does, but that's kind of my template starting place. So what I'm hearing from you is you almost have that in place already. The large, whether it's actually bigger or not, is that passion project. Here's just really what I want to be doing. It's my biggest version of myself and my art and what I want to create. And it's going to be my most expensive, and maybe it gets sold and maybe it doesn't. But we're going to charge accordingly. We've got a middle, which I'm classifying these smaller originals as, where you said 150 to 300 pounds. And then we've got our smalls, which are the 20 to 35 pound prints, which are our biggest seller. Is that what I heard? Okay.
And cards, because I also make greeting cards.
And cards.
Really, I don't know if it's the same where you are, but in the UK, it is really popular to send greeting cards. And they're probably my biggest seller, actually.
Really? Okay. Well, we will not write that off then. Normally, when I hear people have cards, I'm like, that's great. How are they selling? And either they're selling really well, but they're making hardly any profit off of it at all, or they're just not really doing anything. So that's good to know. Those are doing well. What are the price on those?
So they're £3 each.
Okay. Do you sell them in sets or individuals, or what do you do?
So I sell them in sets, 4 or 7, and I sell them individually in a few shops, and they just fly out the door. They're really popular, and at events as well.
Great. Okay. So if we're looking at this small, medium, large, now I'm thrown off. There's 4. What do I do? I'm still going to put the cards off to the side because I don't want to include it in our pricing strategy. It sounds like they're working great. Let's just like put them off over here. Let them be. So our 20 to 35 pounds, what I like to do, we're going to go with 28, is I like to multiply that times 10. So $28 times 10 is $280. And in theory, that would be the price of our largest piece. Now, in this case, that's not really working. We're not doing that. So what we're going to do instead is we're going to look at this middle price, 150 to 300 pounds. And somewhere in the middle of that is 225. So we're going to multiply that times 3, which gives us 775 pounds, which still feels low to me by quite a bit, but it's quite a bit higher than 500. So what I'm looking for is, if I sold it for 775 pounds, I would feel happy, grateful, good about that exchange or not. That's part one. How do we feel about that exchange?
Be delighted.
You'd be delighted. Okay, great. So that's a good starting place. The second part of that is, if I had to say that is 775 pounds, how hard on a scale of 1 to 10 would that be for you to spit out?
A little bit hard.
A little bit hard. But so hard that you would second guess yourself every time you had to give the price so hard that you might not market it so you wouldn't have to tell them the price, anything like that?
No, I don't think so. I think I've got more confident over the years about just saying it's that much.
Good. So that feels like a good middle ground. You are delighted with the exchange, and it's a little bit of a stretch for you to say, but not so much that you're going to hold yourself back from doing it. We have a new price. How does that feel?
It feels like a good number to me. It's not going up towards 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Too much. Yeah, I quite like it. I quite like that 775.
Okay. So we're still... I'm not going to do the math again. The math per hour is still not great, but that's not the main reason we're doing it. So we're going to let that slide. And reevaluate in a year or 6 months. See what happens. Sometimes when things cost more, they actually sell better. It depends on your audience. We're going to have to test it and find out. But if we're not worried about it selling particularly anyway, it's worth testing. So then we've got 225 as our... What's the difference there? Is it the size? Is it the amount of hours it takes you? How do you charge?
Size, a bit the amount of work. And to be honest, with the 300, 350, they'd probably be framed. Whereas 150, they wouldn't be.
Okay. So let's say 225 unframed. You can add on a frame. That's an upcharge. With that in mind, if that was our only price, just to make things easier, what would you do differently in order to make the ones that were 300 worth you doing for that same 225? Would they be smaller? Would there be a few less hours in there? Like, what kind of changes would you make? Just out of curiosity. They just wouldn't be framed. Okay, great. So we're not really changing anything on that one. Now we've got our 20 to 35 pound prints. If we're using my formula that I'm, again, saying doesn't always work, we would take that 775 and divide it by 10. And they would be $77 a piece, the ones that you're currently selling for 20 to 35 pounds. Would you be comfortable at all raising the price on those, or are we really happy with those being where they're at?
I think for the digital ones, I'm really happy. I think for G Clays, I could raise them a bit.
Okay.
Definitely. Because at the moment, they're maybe A3 in size, so I could offer them at A2.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to leave those pretty much alone. I'll let you play with the fine details of those. But essentially what we got to is we're really just raising the price of our highest. So we're good there. So you had also talked about reaching a bigger audience with some of these things. You said, my cards are my best sellers. My prints are my second best sellers. And then there's the occasional original / passion project that sells. What are you doing besides putting cards in greeting shops to sell all this work?
I attend quite a few print fairs, art fairs through the year. And I put my work on my website and I occasionally share it. Well, I share it on social media, on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I would say at the moment, I sell most of my work probably at live events.
Makes sense.
Like bigger pieces, although not always. It's really hard. What I've found over the years is there's no rhyme or reason to when things sell or who buys them. Or, I mean, from what I just said, it did make sense. But now I'm thinking, but then there was that time when I just posted a photo and someone said, I want that, and I bought it. You know, it's
easy. Well, there's always the occasional outliers. But what we're looking for are the overall patterns. Like if we could say, for example, you said the majority of my work I sell at live events. So when you said that, I think you meant my originals and passion projects normally sell at events. But once in a while, a sale will come through on Instagram when I post it. Did I get that right?
Yeah, and my reproduction work as well. I mean, even at live events, that work sells more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Are more likely to sell at a live event than on from my website or from posting them on social media.
I'm going to take a quick pause here because I know that pricing your work is one of the things that feels so complicated. One, do people even want to buy it? Two, is it too expensive? Is it too cheap? Am I selling myself short? This thing takes so long, and this thing I don't really love doing, but I know people love buying it. And so putting together what you are selling combined with your highest work, the work you really want to be making, plus figuring out how to price it, can feel really overwhelming. And it's one of those things that if you feel like I could just figure that piece out, everything would work better. I'd be able to sell more so I could make more money, so I could make more art. Social media wouldn't feel so all-consuming because I have a purpose every time I'm posting. Same thing with my newsletters. Like, what am I even selling and are people going to buy it? And is it just a waste of time? So figuring out that perfect sweet spot can really take a lot of worries off your plate. And that is why it's the very first thing we go over inside of consistent income. The very first week you join, you go straight into deciding what to sell next and how to price it so that making the work you love and the work that people will buy from you becomes the same thing. If you're interested in finding out more, go down to the show notes. There is a link to the page with all the information on it. And also on that page is a place where you can enter your name and email address to let me know it's something you're thinking about so we can look at where you're at together and decide if it's the right fit for you. Okay, let's get back to the show. Let's do something real quick. Now we've got cards. We've got prints. We've got originals. We've got passions. That's what we're calling them anyway. Okay, so what I did was across the top of my page, I wrote all the places that you said you make sales. Live sales, website, social media, greeting card stores. Maybe that's not quite right, but we'll go with it. And then down the other side, I put cards, prints, originals, passions. I know you're not going to know this necessarily 100% accurately off the top of my head, your head, but I want to get some approximates here so we can start to make a little bit more sense of things. So I'm just going to real quickly go through these and say cards, and we're going to say what percentage we think of our sales we're making from each of these places. So remember, we've got live sales, website, social media, and stores. So when we're thinking about cards,
what percentage of my total income?
No, what percentage of cards? Let me see if I can ask the question better. Where did the cards sell? What percentage of them sold at each of these places? So we've got 100% where we're starting off with cards. It doesn't matter how many you've sold, that's still 100%. So in live sales, maybe 50% of the cards you've sold have come from that. Does that make more sense?
Yeah, and that's probably about right, actually.
Okay. So what about your website?
How many cards I sell through my website?
What percentage of that 100 do you think comes from your website? And this is an actual exercise that you could go in and do to get real numbers and say, where did all these sales come from? But we're approximating today.
Recently, I did have an Etsy shop and I've just stopped with that.
So okay.
With Etsy, it was probably maybe, it's gone down recently, but maybe 10%.
Okay.
From my website, very little because I've only recently quit the...
Gotcha. So I'll put maybe like 1 or 2%. Okay. What about social media? Nothing. Okay. And so stores would be, if we're looking at the rest of it, we've got 62% taken. So does 38% in stores sound accurate?
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking there when you said about social media, and I thought, but images, and then I know that people will go to the shop and get them. So it's all connected.
Right. This actual sale did not come from the social media. I know what you're saying. Let's go with 2% on social media, just so we give it a little credit here. So then that would add up to 50, 64, which means 36% of our card sales are coming from stores. Does that sound right? Ish?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, we're approximating here. You might want to actually go back and do this. Maybe. Okay, so then with prints, we're going to do the same thing. We've got 100% of our print sales, no matter how many that is. What percentage is coming from live sales, Etsy, website, social media, and stores? So maybe an easier way to do this would say, where do the most sales come from? And what percentage would you assign that?
80.
And then the next highest between Etsy, website, social media, stores would be website. What percentage would you assign that?
20.
Okay, so 0 everywhere else.
Oh, hang on, no. Maybe, maybe more like 10% local shop. Let's say 30% website and whatever the rest is.
Okay. So you're not making any print sales off social media? Do we want to give it a little or no?
Yeah. But then they go to my website. So I guess that's how I was thinking of it.
Okay. I'm going to say they're probably not. Maybe I'm wrong here, but they're probably not just finding your website and buying something off of it. Would that sound accurate?
Yeah. Or like emailing subscribers or, you know, things like that. And then they will go to my website because I put a link or a shop.
Yeah. I almost feel like we should put website and social media and email together. So 30% comes from that website, email, social media. 0 from Etsy. So then 60% would be our live. Now we've got originals. Highest percentage from what percentage would you say? 90. So then are you selling any originals at stores or Etsy? So then the remaining 10% comes from website, email, social. Okay. And then the big ones, the passions, live sales.
From seeing something and then coming back and thinking about it.
Okay. So if you did not have the website, email, social media, that live sale probably wouldn't happen, but they definitely wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been at that live place. Okay. So 90-10 again. All right. So we've got across the board, of course, like you already said, live sales are definitely the highest percentage. Website, email, social media, we've got 4%, 30%, 10%, 10%, and then stores, we've got 36 and 10. So if we added all that up, just for giggles, and we're giving it a score, this doesn't make 100% sense, but we're just doing it. Then live sales get a 290 score. Etsy gets a 10, which is why we probably cut it out. We've got 4 and 30 and 10 and 10, so 54. And we've got 46. So website, email, social media, and stores are pretty close. A score of 54 and 46. And our live sales, we have a score of 290. So about 6 times more sales are coming from our live events. Did that make sense at all, what I just did? Not really. That's okay, because it didn't really make sense to me there. I was making that last part up. I just added all the percentages to see, give us some way to measure which one was doing better.
I like doing the live events, but I don't want to do more than a few a year. And they're so unpredictable. You know, so even though they are a really good way of selling my work, I could attend six or seven, and two of them would be fantastic and the remainder wouldn't be great. So it feels like a lot of effort.
Right. I almost look at it like you have to take the sum of all of the live shows and average it out, because some years this one will do great and this one will do bad, and then the next year they'll flip-flop. So it's almost like the bad ones, it's like gambling, which ones are going to be good and which ones are going to be bad. But the more places you show up, the higher percentage that that is going to do well at some point. So I know you said you don't want to do a lot of them. How many is not a lot?
Maybe 6-7 a year, something like that.
What have you done in the past?
Well, maybe 5 years ago, I might have done 20 or 30.
Oh, wow.
Well, maybe not quite that many, but it felt like that many.
Yeah.
But my energy levels are much less. You know, after COVID, I think it just, everything changed. And the work involved, I feel, possibly it's not the right attitude, but I just feel like it's hard work. And when they're not that successful, it can feel like a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. So really it comes down to, what is the goal? Obviously, you're in this to make money. But is that the main goal? Do you need it to do really well? Or is that just is it an ego thing for it to do well?
That's a good question. I don't need it to do well I'm getting by.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I really ought to be earning a bit more.
Yeah.
And I suppose it is just thinking of the fact that I'm quite determined I want to do this. So it is just the challenge I'm setting myself of, if I'm going to make these pieces that I love to make, these passion projects, which are great. I mean, when I look at them, I think that's a really great thing that I've created. And it's just, somebody could really love it. I don't know how to put it really, but I just think maybe what I'd like to do is be able to sell more online. Just raise my profile a little.
Yeah.
That more people would come across me, I guess.
Yeah. So I will say a couple of things. One being, online is the biggest learning curve. This is a fairly typical spread for people who do a lot of live events. The majority of their income comes from those live events. And you know, if I need to make more money, the easiest way to do that is either workshops, which we didn't really get into because you mentioned you do those, or more live events. Now, does that mean we should just give up and force ourselves to be tired all the time and do 20 a year still and forget about website and email and social media? No. We still want to be improving our skills in those places, but there's so many skills that stack on top of other skills that it can take longer for that to grow as fast as you want it to. So that's a whole nother topic that we don't have time to really touch on today, is how do I grow that website, email, social media? But I will also say that just looking at this sheet that we put together, while your stores were a little bit lower than the website, email, social media category, they weren't lower by much. So that's another option in the, I know if I can get in more stores, I can sell more greeting cards, more prints more quickly. So while I want you to continue growing website, email, social media, if we're thinking what's my fastest way to more income, it's going to be one of those other two categories probably, while you are building up those skill sets, which is not always the answer people want.
No, I think it's a good answer. And I think that already kind of realized it well. And I think what you're saying is true. I just need to keep on going to live events, which I have already decided, yes, I will do, whilst improving my website and figuring out all those technical frustrations that you get. Just, it's like a very gradual process, isn't it? You just improve things bit by bit by bit. And then you turn around, you go, oh, okay. Which is what I've found really over the past couple of years. Things are gradually getting better. you know, it just seems to slowly, slowly grow. It's a long time, but, you know, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, and the other thing that I want to point out that you probably already realized to some degree is that those live places that you are going, those are the places where you collect people to make the website, email, social media work better. And it sounds like you're probably already asking them to join your newsletter or follow you on Instagram and all of those things. But I'm just going to leave you with this question to think about. What other ways can I nurture them besides just adding them into a list of people who get my content? I like to teach my clients to keep a list of what I call ideal art buyers, leads, people I might collaborate with, in your case, such as stores or places that might host workshops, all of those different kinds of categories, past clients, and use that list as a place to make those stronger connections along with this content that we're putting out, the website, email, social media, so that the content actually works alongside what you're doing with that list of people, because they're able to see you in those places and experience you as a person as well. That's when they can work really well. So if you could just think about that little tweak and how can I do more with those people besides add them into my content list, I think that's going to give you a leg up on growing that last piece.
Have you got any suggestions of ways you might nurture?
I'm trying to think how to answer your question briefly because we need to wrap this up, but give you a good answer that you can go off of. One, go listen to more episodes. I talk about this a lot. But two, think about what are your interests, your hobbies, your values, your love language, the things that would make you want to connect with someone in the first place. Let's go with love languages because that's the easiest one to give examples for. If your love language is gifting in your, I'm going to call it nurture process, we're probably wanting to do some gifting. That might be writing a handwritten card to that person that you met at the event and sending it to them with a card for them to mail to someone that they love. That's an example of a gift. Words of affirmation. Maybe that's your love language and that's what you're really good at. You could ask them, instead of following you, ask if you can follow them. And then you can go look at what they're up to and write them a very lovely, genuine note about something or other. And they end up following you in that way. Hey, I'm that artist that you met. And I just wanted to tell you that blah, 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 blah. If someone writes me a note like that, I'm following them back. That kind of thing. So again, that's the easiest way to go about this is think about your love language. How do you like to show it? And how can I add that into my ways to give love to my potential buyers, people I might want to work with, et cetera. Is that short answer enough for you to go off of for brainstorming at least?
Yeah. I'll have a good thing. But yeah, that's something to go on, definitely.
I would also really recommend go back through the other episodes and see which ones say things like nurturing, engaging, anything along those lines. There's probably some more ideas in there.
Yeah, definitely do that. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, Sam, we almost made it. We did 45 minutes instead of 30, but we can cut some stuff. Tell anyone who's listening, if they're interested in finding out more about you, more about your work, where should they go?
You can find me on Instagram at Sam Groom Printmaker, or my website is samanthagroom.co.uk.
And where are they going to get the most goodness from you? If they don't know what to pick between your website, your Instagram, what do you want them to do? What do you recommend?
Well, I'd recommend they go to my Instagram and have a look at what I've been up to. And then from there, go to my website and find out a little bit more about me.
Do it all. All right. Do it all. Yeah. Thank you for being here, Sam. Thanks for being brave, one, and also trusting me with your hour, because that's how long this whole process takes. I know it's 8 o'clock for you, so it's late. You could be in bed. Or 9. It's almost 9.
Bedtime. Well, thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast. Yeah, it's been really interesting.
Of course.
I'm having a good think about what you said.
Great. I'm glad. I would also recommend, as homework, maybe go in and evaluate some sales and see if these numbers are accurate. Because sometimes we think they're one thing, but when we go actually look at the data, there's something else that might give you more insight into I should or shouldn't be doing this or that. Well, have a very good sleep. We'll talk soon. Bye, Sam.
Thank you. Bye.
I hope this episode gave you some amazing insight into where to be spending your time to make more art sales. While we barely scratched the surface here, this is the heart of my consistent income program. Know what you're selling, know how to price it, know who to talk to, know where to spend your time. All of those aspects of using your time wisely, connecting with the right people, so that the time that you spend selling art actually gives back to you, allowing you to make more art, feel more fulfilled, and make more money without it being so all-consuming. So again, if this is something you're looking for, you're going to want to check out Consistent Income. There's a link down below, and we'll talk next week.